Hello and welcome, everybody. This is the Cole Memo. I'm your host, Cole Preston. Every episode is released in audio, video, and transcript format. To find the transcript, audio, or video version of any episode, please refer to the description of the episode that you're listening to now. Within that description, you can find a link that will take you to our website, which will display the transcript for this episode and the platforms where you can find this episode in audio or video formats. If you're unable to locate the episode description on whichever platform you're listening from, I get it. Every platform's different. Simply note the episode number and visit thecolememo.com. From there, you can use our search functionality in the top right-hand corner to find the corresponding episode, and then you'll be able to access the audio, video, and transcript version of that episode. You might also find any links that we reference during the episode so that you might be able to do your own research. If you're not listening to this episode of the Cole Memo on Patreon, then you're listening to this episode a little bit later than our patrons. To become a patron, go to thecolememo.com/patreon. It's a great way to support our show. Although one of the best ways to support our show is completely free. Subscribe to or follow our show. Leave us a positive review from wherever you're listening to us from. Favorite this episode, give it a thumbs up. Leave a comment or post a review. Once again, folks, thecolememo.com/patreon. It's just $3 a month and it gives you immediate access to our content, but our content ultimately all gets released for free. Our show is funded by listeners like you. Your engagement and support is appreciated. Today is March 4th. Wow. 2024. Today I'm joined by Peter Kontos. Peter, thank you for sitting back down with me. Although I will say this is your first time on the Cole Memo. So for folks that may not know you, do you mind introducing yourself and telling us where we can find your work online?
Absolutely. No, thank you for your generosity with the platform and for always supporting the coalition. So my name is Peter Kontos. I'm the deputy director of the Cannabis Equity Illinois Coalition. We're a nonprofit based in Chicago, founded in 2019, working to, hold the state accountable for the harm done by the war on drugs. We provide a variety of direct holistic reentry services for folks returning from incarceration, as well as a lot of education around, how to, know your rights around cannabis, how to stay safe with this legal plant that you could still be criminalized for in a lot of ways, as well as lots of policy advocacy. So I spent most of my time trying to do policy work, and so I know that's what we'll be talking about today. But encourage folks to find us online at Canna Equity IL on all platforms. Instagram is definitely the best place to follow us, and our website, cannabisequityil.org. Find out more about what we have going on. You're always welcome to send us a DM on social media or email us info@cannabisequityil.org if you have questions or want to get involved.
Awesome. Peter, thank you again for your time today, and thank you for what you do. You do so much. Of course, it is called Cannabis Equity Illinois Coalition, so we talk about cannabis often, but you do offer some service. You do offer, I don't mean to say some service, many many services that are outside of I would say a cannabis focus. So I'd be happy to give you space to talk about that if you'd like to today. But I know that one of the things that recently happened was the State of the State address by J.B. Pritzker. And I almost wanted to follow your lead here because I know there were a few things you guys have released statements. So where do you want to start today, Peter?
Yeah, I think we could start. I think just kind of with a little chronological order, just letting folks know kind of what 2024 has looked like in terms of state policy. And so I think it's really important for folks to kind of just realize that Illinois state government really, our lawmakers, I should say, really only work from January to May. And so we are in the midst of that legislative session right now. We have an election coming up on March 19th. And so, as people have probably seen, there hasn't been a lot of movement in terms of the laws or policies getting enacted or changed at all, in the state. That is not like a surprise or something we're worried about too much, just because we know, again, once the election comes, once we get into April, that's when our lawmakers kind of wake up out of their hibernation and get to work. And so we, very excited about kind of what's to come over these next few weeks. And months, I should say. But it's really important that we talk about the state of the state because it does really offer kind of a look into what's to come for state policy making over this next these next few months and what it will mean for the next year for the state of Illinois.
Yeah, and I was about to ask you, since I like that idea of staying in chronological order, that looks like the State of the State was on the 21st of February. Is that correct?
Yep.
Cool. Cool. So let's talk about it. I'm sure some people may have missed it. Some people may not have even known that it was happening. So, yeah. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So what happened, you know, this is a, you know, an annual thing that every Illinois governor has done for quite a while, I'm sure. I don't know who started it, but it's been doing as long as I've been alive. And so what happens is every year, you know, in the middle of kind of the winter, you know, session hasn't really heated up yet. There's not a lot of work getting done. You know, it's really just all about laying that framework for what's to come at the end of really at the end of May when they pass all the bills. And so every governor in Illinois will basically kind of go out there, go onto the pulpit and say, hey, you know, this is what I think the state did great this year. I think this is where we could have done better. This is what I envisioned for the next year. And so last year, you know, Governor Pritzker came up and talked about a lot of the investments he made into education. He talked a lot about cannabis legalization and how great the industry was. But this time around, you know, when we were down there last week, he did not mention cannabis once. He didn't mention drug policy at all. Didn't mention the overdose crisis that continues to get worse in Illinois. Didn't mention any kind of criminal justice reform, prison reform, the fact that many Illinois prisons don't have clean water still. Didn't mention any of those things, which, you know, there's a choice. You know, politicians have, you know, speech writers and lawyers and professionals who hold whose entire job it is to make sure that the words he says, you know, make sense, that they're politically effective, and ultimately, you know, because he is not the one setting the budget. I want to be really clear with folks. He doesn't set the political agenda. He's one guy at the top of this state, but he doesn't draft the laws. He doesn't pass the laws. He doesn't vote on the laws. He's just the one who si he signs what comes to him. He vetoes what he doesn't like that comes to him. And so, you know, this was a really, you know, I would say for about an hour long speech, he talked again about kind of what he did good. He talked about, you know, the edu investments in especially like early childhood education, things like healthcare. You know, we're never going to be upset about those things. But what we were very surprised to see was, again, no mention of cannabis at all, no mention of the industry, no mention of, you know, the progress or lack thereof, which he's spoken about. Again, I mentioned that a previous state of the states, you know, he's in his second term as governor, and plenty of press conferences. Definitely was surprised to not hear him say anything about it.
I was too, especially he tweeted about it right before the show. I don't mean to say specifically about cannabis, but there was a mention. I'll pull up the tweet just so that for posterity. But I was also surprised there was no mention of cannabis. But the way I mean, I'm upset as well that there was no mention of cannabis because, of course, I always like talking about it. The way I put it is it made me realize how many other things were truly going on. And sometimes people accuse me of being a little bit pessimistic or negative about the progress we have made, and you know, guilty as charged. But I will just say that, you know, some people have made the point to me that yes, there, I think even you have, in some of the coalition meetings, like, you know, we can come with this list of needs, but realize that there are so many other people from so many other industries there. And it's something I never really thought of until you and others educated me on the reality of what happens in Springfield, you know? So.
Yeah, it's a lot of competing interests, and folks have to realize that, like, we're not the first priority on the list. You know, we're not, just to be clear with folks, we're not in the room that he's making this speech. You know, at the ticketed invite only event, we're not there. There are lobbyists who do get involved, there are advocates who do get invited. But you know, there's a reason that, you know, we have a lot of a clout to gain and a reputation to build, so we get into those rooms. But there's, you know, a lot of competing interests. You know, I'm not sure the exact number, but there has to be at least 500 lobbyists registered in Illinois, probably more, who represent everything from what we do in cannabis and drug policy reform and criminal justice reform, to the people who represent the casino and gaming industry,
Right.
to people who represent the Chicago White Sox baseball team. We're trying to get $1 billion out of state taxpayers, you know.
Yep.
So when we're down there, it's not like, oh, we, you know, we have the cannabis megaphone and everyone flocks to
Yeah.
us. Like, we're definitely, you know, definitely the odd man out a lot of the times. People really, yeah, you know, they've put off the conversation. They might be a little nervous to engage with it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, just to list off a few other interests that are probably there, power companies. For example, water companies. I mean, you know, there are many, many things going on. Plumbing. I don't know. I'm just throwing out random trades at this point. But, you know, Yeah, it's I say these things not to put down what we want, obviously, but for context for people that, like you say, it's not like it's just Peter and Doug and whoever else may be there, in the corner. It's like a packed room of several interests that are, fighting for the attention of these legislators in so many ways. So,
And then on top of all that, there's, three middle school classes that are doing a field trip, and you're trying to have a conversation and 60 seventh graders walk by, and you're like, oh my God, shut up. I'm trying to talk to this person. And they're, this is working in the Capitol. This is what it's like.
I want to give you more space. I'm showing for our listeners right now the tweet I was referring to a moment ago, but it was made it looks like actually a day before the was it was yeah, this was on the 20th, so I think the state of the state was on the 21st, if I'm remembering correctly. I can't remember. But you can see here he does mention as kind of a highlight that they launched the adult use cannabis industry. So I definitely thought I thought this was going to be like the bullet point list he was going to go through, like maybe even in order. I don't know. But I was surprised that this did not make the cut. But I wanted to give you more space, like I said. So you talked about some of the other topics that weren't discussed. I wanted to give you more space on that because I think that is important. But I also wanted to give you the space to talk about, for folks that missed the speech, what was mentioned, you know what I mean? And we've mentioned a little bit, but I wanted to, like I say, just give you more space on those topics.
Yeah, I would say that the main things he talked about were especially stuff like at the very top here, where balanced budgets, credit upgrades. Spent a lot of time talking about like Illinois as a business and
And
like
can I
how great.
jump in real quick?
Please.
Sorry. But to your point earlier, just so that people understand, if they didn't see the speech, this past five balanced budgets, he made a statement during the speech, like, hey, kind of like, some people may critique my analysis of this, but just this is my analysis. It seemed like a, hey, I'm reaching across the aisle, but for the budget, but realize that I will not put the state's credit, what is it? Not a credit upgrades for approval. See, this is his other bullet point. So I wanted to say that to your point earlier of you made the point that the people pass the legislation to get, bring it to him to sign into law, but that he doesn't directly write it. So the speech, he's saying like, hey, if this is how you're going to proceed, this is what's going to get my signature almost. I thought that was important to mention.
And that's really, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, he's not telling you what he wants you to do, but like, hey man, this is what I want you to do.
Right.
They'll have countless meetings between the Senate, the House, all the, each the House and the Senate have their own budget representatives. The Democrats, Republicans have their own budget representatives. All of these people have staff who their only job is to write the budget. And so there's a lot, that this is one of the most complex things you will see is how the budget gets made. It's just a lot. this is, billions of dollars being spent. The city of Chicago budget is 16 billion. The state of Illinois is at least double that. And so it's really important that folks know, like, this is not small potatoes. This is not pennies on the dollar. This is a lot. And so again, the governor, he's not telling people what they need to do, but he's saying, hey, this is my request of you. And he'll lay out his stipulations like, hey, I'll invest in this early childhood education or this healthcare thing that we might lose money on technically. But on the back end, we will make it back through like people have, paying more in taxes or, having a better, higher employment rate or something. And so he's being, he's trying to be very clear. And for context, Illinois, we had kind of back-to-back governors where passing a budget was very difficult. Under former Governor Rauner, we literally had 3 years of budget impasses where they literally couldn't agree. And so there just wasn't a budget. And so a lot of the social services organizations, mental health support just didn't get done. And so groups like the Coalition, like when we first started, this was a year into Governor Pritzker's term, there was very little state staff for us to like call or to reach out to and ask for help from. Things have definitely changed since then. We'll give the governor a lot of credit. Like we do have more adequately staffed agencies. We could always do better. But like we have moved in the right direction. And it does go to like there's a huge difference in having at least your bills paid as a state. Like, we are in a much better position than we were in the past. But again, like this needs to be the ground floor for, further growth.
Yeah, and I can't speak on other levels of education, but I can say that in the past, like you said, due to these budget impasses, there's been a huge impact to higher education institutions, I even know that some closed, like community colleges were closing. I don't know if people remember this, but and one community I know of a few, yeah, that closed, some that were really buckling down, and the future was unclear. You know, they were having layoffs. This is in higher education. So, like you say, to credit the current governor, although things may not be perfect, things are, you might say, better at least those regards. So.
Absolutely. And one just real quick, some of the other things he mentioned in the speech. So again, he mentioned, I would say he really focused a lot on healthcare and education. So again, early childhood education, not just trying to support families, especially like more vulnerable families for single parent households, but making sure that those families actually have support. They have tax credits and more investment, but also making sure that, the professionals who are going to offer those services, making sure Illinois is like the most competitive and generous place for people to get jobs. Because it's like we want to attract the best labor force. We got to pay people money. We got to pay people benefits. And so there was some really exciting stuff, like as an individual, as part of a community, like we should all be excited about. But, again, those were very kind of very focused again, healthcare, education, how great our credit score is. One thing that he did say that we, as a coalition, do have a lot of issues with, which he did kind of make a jab at the Republicans around the immigration conversation. The coalition, we started again in 2019. We have members from all over the state of Illinois. We have folks from all over the world. But we had a lot of very honest conversations about, the impact of the war on drugs, both in Chicago and across the globe when we first founded. And so we take the immigration conversation very seriously. And so Governor Pritzker did kind of make a jab at the Republicans about them, not coming, well, not fully agreeing to a federal immigration deal. And this is very off topic of cannabis, but, again, we believe we see the intersections in cannabis and in immigration policy. The American immigration system is based on racism, and our drug policy and immigration policy are firmly intertwined. And so for him to kind of come at the Republicans and say, well, you're not, trying to come to the deal making table when, the solutions that are being put on the table are basically ending the asylum process. And again, we're getting way too into the weeds. But as an organization who recognizes that the war on drugs destabilized communities across the globe, the US is behind a lot of that destabilization. And now these people are coming to the US and we're trying to close the door in their faces. We as a coalition will not accept that. And we think it's incredibly disappointing that the governor would even think that an immigration deal like that is productive. Because again, considering Illinois is a state built, by immigrants, built, especially the city of Chicago. Like we have no right to say that, our city is full or we're at capacity. Like this is, we can only, grow from here. And so we did want to call that out as something that was extremely disappointing, and something that, we think he should be, learning from and growing from. This is not just about saying, oh, the Republicans won't take a deal. Like, no, the deal has to be like a good deal. We want to see, Illinois be the most welcoming place in the country, and a place that everyone can live safely, securely, and in the best health possible. And we want to make sure that we're not closing the door.
Sure. I'd like to preface this question with saying that I've only watched a few State of the State addresses, and I've only watched maybe a little bit over a handful of State of the Union addresses. And I would say starting with President Barack Obama when I first started like getting interested in politics, and then of course, going on from there. So again, maybe just over a handful. Now that I've like prefaced this question, I want to ask, is it normal for a governor to like call other governors out like that? Even the former president he called out, which I it's not that I disagreed necessarily with anything, but I would just like to call to, it just seems like we're talking about the state of the state right now, which I guess I get how the immigration issue makes you think of Abbott because he is apparently sending the busing people here. So I guess that call out makes sense, and I can see how the Trump thing comes up too. I just am asking, like, is that unique or does that happen often?
Yeah, that's definitely something like I haven't seen. Like we've seen people take kind of shots at former President Trump a few times, but like other governors, that's the first I've seen of it. You know, when you brought up the question, I thought you were going to talk about his dig at California Governor Newsom around their debt issue, because he did make a jab at the state of California. You know, I think the California example is very interesting because, you know, we have seen Governor Pritzker. Let's be honest, he's a billionaire. This man has doesn't need to be a politician if he didn't want to be. If he didn't want power, he could buy his own island and live on the island comfortably. But he doesn't. He lives in Illinois. He is the governor of Illinois, and you know, we believe he has much larger kind of prospects. We think he's going to eventually run for governor at some point. And so to see him
You
kind
meant to
of
say
come at
president. You said
my
governor.
bad, yeah, president.
Yep.
He's going to run for president at some point. You know, and so it made sense to see him kind of take a jab at like, oh, California is kind of underperforming or not as performing as good as Illinois. So that was a little bit of surprising, but like when you see his political prospects, it makes sense. When it comes to the stuff with Texas, I'll be totally frank, as an advocate, and somebody who's like very pro immigration and again, like resettling people so they can live their best life. I think he could have gone even harder. Like this dude, the gov sorry, I say this dude, the governor of Texas, the governor of Florida, these people are hiring buses and private jets using taxpayer dollars to send migrants to Chicago and New York and California and all over the country. I don't want to say it's like just the big cities. And it's just like totally abdicating their responsibility to actually process asylum cases and to support people who are, again, fleeing their homelands. Like people wouldn't come here if it wasn't absolutely dire. People wouldn't travel thousands of miles in the most dangerous, you know, crossing in modern, you know, human history. Like we have created these situations. So I was a little surprised he didn't go even harder because like this guy, and again, there's much bigger issues around federal immigration that again, I'm going way too off topic. But like he used his pulpit to, you know, I think show the country, not just the state of Illinois, but really show the country like, hey, I mean business. I'm different than the California, I'm different than the Texas guys.
That's kind of why I was asking that question. I not so much that, I had issue with anything that he said. I was like, is he positioning? We all know that it's a possibility, but it just seemed like something that somebody who's running for president would say. Well, anyways, did not mean to get into the weeds on that. I just thought it was, you brought up the idea of immigration and or the issue of immigration rather, and just made me think of those statements that he made, and I wasn't sure if it was characteristic of a state of the union, so or state of the state rather. Well, what are some other thoughts you have about this, or what are some like next steps? Like, I mean, I saw you guys produced a graphic. Are you Like, yeah, what are we go from here?
Yeah, so you know, again, really went into the weeds on some of those things, and so I
Sure.
apologize to listeners
No, it's
because
okay.
again, I can spend a lot of time on this. So the next, I think, kind of where we go from here is like we have pretty much 3 months, March, April, and May to really make a lot of noise and to try and pass a lot of bills. So again, we mentioned the governor; he laid out what he wants to see in the budget. Didn't mention cannabis by name, and that means it's on us to make sure cannabis is addressed. If he's not talking about it, we need to talk about it so that we fill that void and we make sure that nobody can run away from this. Nobody can dodge these questions. Nobody can ultimately evade accountability for this program because we know this could be, you know, we could be so much further along with the more integrated, diverse, just better industry. And so now is the time to get involved. So, you know, the coalition, you know, we continue to have community policy meetings, and so we'll make sure that that link is in the description and the show notes, so folks can plug into those. Right now, those are every other Monday at 5:30. As we get closer to the end of the session, those will move to weekly because there'll be a lot more like pressing updates and stuff. So we encourage folks to sign up for those meetings. We'll have emails that go out, you know, every other week with all of the updates. So even if you can't make the meeting, you know, you'll have the notes. So that's first. And the other thing I should say about those is, you know, those are open conversations. So if you have legislation you want the coalition to look into, whether you think we should support it, you think we should oppose it, just things you think we should read about. You know, this is an open conversation. We want to make sure, you know, people understand the table is always open. We're not, you know, this is not this is a community-led process. This is not us doing anything by force. And so that would be first and foremost is plug in with us on those meetings, join those conversations, be a part, you know, read the notes, be a part of the conversation, so that we can, you know, ultimately, you know, get people more informed about what's going on, and how they can use their voices.
Absolutely. Yeah, folks, check out that link. I go every meeting and listen in. And like Peter said, if you can't listen in, the summary emails are great. And it's a way to get involved. Speaking of getting involved, I figured we could plug this is coming up. This is a great way to get directly involved, folks. And for our listeners, Peter, why don't you tell our listeners what we're displaying right now and how they can get involved?
So on Thursday, April 18th, the coalition, we're going to be taking a big group down to Springfield, to the state capitol, to see all of what I just talked about up close and personal.
Yeah.
We will have a bus coming down from Chicago with 55 seats. So we encourage folks to sign up as soon as possible. We'll make sure that you get the sign up for that as well. But sign up, add your name to the list. Even if you don't want to take the bus, you want to drive down or take the train, sign up so we can get you, all the information you need. Because one thing that, just to be really clear with folks, people, we believe that everybody should see our government up close and personal for what it is. We mentioned at the top of the conversation, all of the different competing interests when you're in Springfield. There's one specific area that's called the rail that's right outside of the House of Representatives kind of meeting room. And you'll just see hundreds of lobbyists in their suits, just like lined up around this rail, waiting for lawmakers to come out of their meeting or to go into the meeting, or they're calling them on the phone, like, leave your meeting, I need to talk to you. We're going to show you what this is up close and personal. We're going to make sure that you kind of, dispel any myths you have about how the government works, how you can use your voice as effectively as possible. So again, we would love for folks to join us Thursday, April 18th. That will be an all-day event. So again, if you're coming from Chicago, make sure you sign up so we can get you on the bus. If you want to take your own transportation, that is fantastic. We'll send you everything you need to know. But again, when you leave on the 18th, you're going to have seen the Capitol. We'll take you around, show you all of the sights, sounds of our state government. You'll get to, where our goal is for everybody to meet your respective state reps and state senators. And so we're going to have little breakout groups based on where you're coming from in Illinois. You'll go with, your community members. So you can go again, go see your reps, see your senators and remind them like, hey, I'm technically your boss. I vote for you. We put you into office. We can take you very much out of this office if you're not listening to what the people are demanding, whether it's about cannabis. Obviously, cannabis is the main agenda for this event. But again, if people have bills or things you want us to talk about, reach out to us and we can talk about adding it to the list.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just, for folks that are watching, I displayed a picture. I think this is actually the rail you were talking about. And you can even see, I think that's Senate Majority Leader Don Harmon right there. I could be wrong. I don't know if this is in Illinois or not. I don't know. Is that in Illinois? Can't tell.
This is the rail.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yep. So yeah, just imagine hundreds of people in suits, just like, again, from the coalition, Doug and myself, to the pork manufacturers, to the transit advocates, the people who represents ComEd and People's Gas, the utilities, like all of these people are in one place for better, for worse. And we want people to see it up close and personal. Whether cannabis is the issue for you, you care about other drug policy reform, you care about other criminal justice reform, you care about climate change, you care about sustainable agriculture. All of these things intersect. And so, we mentioned immigration at the top, like that's the same, all of these things are intersectional. We make sure that everything we do, we explain kind of why the coalition believes that, these things are connected, and we will get to work to work for proactive policies that make a real difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Peter, I want to give you space. Did you want to, I do have one question for you before we go, but I wanted to give you space. Do you have anything else that we didn't touch on today, or anything else you'd like to speak about?
No, I think just in closing from my side, just again, a reminder that like the first 3 months of session, don't hold your breath. Things are slow.
Right.
It's designed to be that way. Just know that, by the time you listen to this, things will have gotten a lot busier. I will have a lot less sleep. again, especially once we get into April and May, like this will be almost round the clock work. So if you're interested in getting involved, now's the time to do it, because it's only going to get busier, and we need all hands on deck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I wanted to play a clip for my next question. It's just a short clip. And I guess I wanted to ask, this is one of the very real issues, and we've talked about it sometimes, but I guess my question that I want to give you time, we'll watch the clip while you think, but I'll ask you the question beforehand. Campaign finance, right? We'll have somebody explain what exactly that is in their short clip and why it's so important. But I guess what I'm asking you is, can the public outweigh, I guess, the dollars? I'm having trouble wording this question, admittedly, but I've been feeling a little, I don't know. My faith has been destroyed in some ways, and so I'm wondering, like, will we, if we come together, is that enough, or do we need to somehow figure out somebody to cash flow these policies? Anyways, let's check out the clip. Why do you think you're alone in supporting meaningful reform?
Oh, Cole. Let's see, why am I alone? Because just like any other commodity in a capitalist system, unless you deal with campaign finance, you're going to be alone. I mean, I know intimately how this game is played, and whoever pays plays. I totally understand how this works. So you'll look and say, oh, you know, these people don't really support her campaign. No, because I don't ask them to. There is a real fundamental problem in every state in this union, and it is called campaign finance. And unless we deal with campaign finance, what we have seen going forward is that they have allowed continuously for them to maintain what they have without having to open it up to the rest of us. People believe that they elected me and sent me to represent their interests from my community, right? But in many, many cases, the people who are in Springfield are lobbyists and they represent the interests of the cannabis industry. So if you think that you're gonna ever stand up, you're gonna be fighting this when I'm not a legislator, they're gonna still be fighting to get into this cannabis industry in all kind of backdoor ways, and we're gonna be passing legislation from here to eternity because what they have done is locked people completely out by policy.
Again, big one, but I'm curious, what's your take on that big topic?
I could not agree with Representative Ammons more. Definitely as a individual, you know, I firmly see the you know, as a someone who is a middle schooler when Citizens United court case happened in front of the state in the US Supreme Court that drastically changed the situation. It has not gotten any better since then. And so I'd firmly stand behind this as an individual advocate. From the coalition, you know, the coalition was born out of, again, the promises our lawmakers made about righting the wrongs of the war on drugs and achieving true equity in this cannabis industry. This is again, we talk about how intersectional this issue is. This is absolutely one of those things that has to be on our docket because, like, again, the coalition was formed of people who are impacted by state violence, who don't have a voice in the state government, for better or for worse. And so the only way, you know, we can truly achieve change is we either show up with a whole bunch of people or a whole bunch of money. And we can probably get a whole bunch of people before we can get a whole bunch of money. And so, you know, this is definitely something we firmly agree with. You know, I know Representative Ammons has introduced like publicly funded campaigns. Like everybody has a certain amount of money to lead their campaign, and that's all you get. You know, so both of us get 50 grand to run a campaign versus I have 10 million and you have $10. Like, we can finally maybe level the playing field. So something I'm firmly supportive of, you know, the coalition, you know, this is conversations we want to have, and we got to make these changes sooner because, yeah, the more money, you know, again, the governor's a billionaire, like, let's
Yeah.
call it what it is. You know,
I guess to put it
it's
in a bottle, it sounds like you are optimistic that we could come together and enact some change.
I am optimistic, you know, I definitely, you know, I don't want to, I'm not a rose-tinted glasses person. You know, I've very much become jaded through this process, and you know, these last 5 years have been very difficult for us, and we've learned and been burned, unfortunately, by you know, this process. But you know, we are optimistic that we can bring people together. It has happened before. There have been people-led movements in this country, in this state of Illinois. And you know, I think a lot of it is just like making sure people understand the history. Like, people have organized and led, done amazing things. And a lot of those campaigns, you know, our government doesn't want us to know about. You know, the coalition, we were, you know, born under the same vision that the Rainbow Coalition was born with, the Black Panthers, the Young Patriots, and the Young Lords. Like, this is you know, it only works if we're all at the table together, working, beating the same drum, and able to work at the same mission and, you know, the same goals, or else we're all going to be fighting at the bottom for scraps. You know, this country is built on the people at the very top having everything and controlling everybody else. It only can work if we realize our power collectively, we use our voices and we show up.
Yeah. And I will just say before we go that this, I feel, and maybe it's anecdotal, but I feel I've seen a lot of more energy this session than I have in quite a long time. And I think, I'm trying to give you a compliment here, I think that can be credited to the Alliance for Cannabis Equity's proposals that were unveiled. And if people are curious, I wrote an article about this on January 22nd, 2024, which includes the one pager and some of my thoughts. But definitely check out the one pager. I'll have that linked in the podcast show notes as well. And if you'd like to see my thoughts, check out the article. But I wanted to say that I am also hopeful. Not that you asked me, but I wanted to end it on a happy note. I'm also hopeful, because I feel I've seen more support for these proposals than I ever have. And, you know, I credit it to the fact that there are some community-based proposals. In other words, they're not just industry-focused proposals. I always say, if you know you want to get people to call into their legislator, you got to give them a reason to. And sorry, but I'm not going to call in for the Illinois Railway Association, just like I'm not going to call in for, you know, some cannabis industry person that I may not even know exists. But when you give me something that it's like, oh, hey, that would benefit me and my life and my loved ones, and it will give somebody else something, sure, I'll call in, you know. So anyways, I just want to end that on a positive note by saying that I'm also hopeful. So thank you, Peter. And I just want to also say thank you to you and Doug for doing what you do. Folks, I meant to add this earlier, but the meetings truly are open and you give people plenty of space, you know, to learn and participate. And I just want to say that I'm not personally aware right now of anybody else that's doing that, holding these weekly regular public meetings where you get everybody together, give them updates on what's going on. And I just wanted to say thank you, because I know that sometimes it might be a thankless position. And I just wanted to make sure to let you know that I appreciate you. And I know so many other people that appreciate the work that you, Doug, and everybody else does. So thank you, Peter.
No, and sincerely appreciate that, Cole, and you know, everybody who supported this movement. Like, this is something that this is the greatest privilege of our lives to do this work. It is incredibly difficult. It is taxing. It is exhausting. But like, there's nothing more that, you know, we'd rather be doing than this. And so again, really appreciate, you know, all the support that comes from our community. And one thing that you said that I think really needs to be harped on is like, if we don't have political imagination, if we can't envision what we want to see, we will never achieve it. And so, again, I can be jaded, I can be frustrated. I'm a pessimist for sure. I say that proudly, but like, you know, that does not mean that we can lose sight of our goals. Like, we have to continue to keep that vision in front of us. Because yeah, if we lose sight of it, you know, we're going to be 5 years later and not know where we left and, you know, how we got off the course. So we just need folks to keep believing, keep, you know, again, like, see what you want to create and we'll get there.
Well said, Peter. Well said. Well, hey, I will see you here in a little bit at the advocacy meeting. And folks, I hope to see you all at future ones. And I hope you found as much value in this conversation as I did. Check out the show notes to get involved. Definitely check out the Cannabis Equity Illinois Coalition at cannabisequityil.org. Thank you once again, Peter.